Well, this morning on Sanctity of Life Sunday, we're going to talk about a topic that I think you'll see how it's directly connected with life and the sanctity of life. You know, when we talk about the sanctity of life, we need to also talk about quickly the grace of God and the forgiving grace of God. And his ability to cleanse from all sin. With that, we can rejoice. And with that, we can march on with him to handle the course that is laid before us. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say that. Run with endurance the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the pain, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you grow weary and faint in your minds. It's here. It's in the mind that we faint. A course to run with endurance. You know, as we talk about Sanctity of Life Sunday, we come to the place in our priorities series and the Jesus encounters that we're going to talk about something directly connected to childbirth. And that's marriage. And that's a good thing to talk about. Marriage. What do single guys know about married life? Yeah. Isn't that almost kind of like having a hermit? This is a picture of a real hermit. Hey, can you hit the lights a moment? You don't need to take all the inside ones out, just the outside ones. I'd like them to see this a little bit. This is a picture of a real hermit, okay? That didn't help much, did it? You know, talking to single guys about married life, isn't it kind of like getting pointers from a hermit about being social? What do you think? Kind of like. I mean, here's a couple of single guys, at least they were portrayed that way. Actually, they weren't, but in this they were. And that was quite a story. Some of you may not even know who they are. You don't. So this is Oscar and Felix. And years ago, they were the odd couple, two single guys having to kind of live together, and it, what did they know about marriage? Yeah. But here's a couple of guys that are single guys. You know who this is? This is Rembrandt's edition, or rendition. The first one here, that is the head of Christ, painted by Rembrandt. And the other, that one is the Apostle Paul, Paul of Tarsus, painted by Rembrandt. And the fact of the matter is, consulting single guys about married life really depends. It really depends on who he is, what materials they have to give, who he is, and what materials. Here, the one on your right, being the Lord, said this, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and he goes on and he talks about the thing of marriage. And he corrects some errors about marriage and the intent of marriage. So he was a single guy. But being the Lord of glory, God incarnate, he did have something to say. And the Apostle Paul, well, he said this, To the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should. And he goes on and talks about that. So the Lord giving the instructions here. This morning, in our Jesus encounters, we're going to talk about being God's kind of person. Excuse me, God's kind of partner. Person was last week, partner is this week. Following the shepherd and being God's kind of partner. And that comes from John chapter 10. Can you look over there with me? John chapter 10 in the New Testament. Following the shepherd and being God's kind of partner. Now some of you are thinking, well, I'm not even married. Being God's kind of partner. Doesn't this seem like you're only speaking to some folks in the congregation this morning? Well, let me say this. Definitely this speaks greatly about being God's kind of partner to marriage. I mean, that's the point. We're talking about priorities. The first clear, overarching, all-time priority is to glorify God. We've looked at that. And from that eyepiece of looking at the world, this priority of glorifying God whenever, whatever, wherever, we have the requirement of priority number two, which is being God's kind of person in that. Right afterwards, priority three. Being God's kind of partner. In marriage, surely, surely that's a foremost place. And some of you who aren't married, well, maybe someday you will be. Maybe. And if you are, it's kind of good to get an idea of what this thing needs to be. And not in the sense of the kind of partner you get to have, but the kind of partner you get to be. The kind of partner to aim to be. There's a book that I have. It's a very good book. It says, What He Must Be If He Wants to Marry My Daughter. And it was written by a pastor, Vody. And he says certain things here. He must be a follower of Christ. He must be a prepared leader. He must lead like Christ. And he goes on and talks about other things. This is what the dad is looking for. Well, the issue is what do I provide as a partner? When we go into marriage, oftentimes people think, I say I do for what I get. But the idea is to say I do for what you give. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Then again, some of you are saying, been there, done that. It's over. The marriage thing. Well, let me say that there is a partnership. There is a partnership that still exists. As a matter of fact, let me take you to Jesus and the Apostle Paul again. First, the thing that Jesus had said that we saw previously in Mark 10. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And the Apostle Paul, quoting that, then says this. This is a profound mystery. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that in reference to Christ and the church. He's saying what? He's saying this. I'm saying this in reference to Christ and the church. And if you know the whole context of this thing, you see how he draws this strong analogy on partnership, the partnership of husband and wife. It's the partnership that exists between Christ and the church. And this thing of being two and becoming one, this is a profound mystery. Yes, in marriage, it's a profound mystery. But I'm saying that in reference to Christ and the church. There's a partnership. There's a partnership. Let's see. The church is called the what of Christ? The bride of Christ. It's the bride of Christ because this partnership is an eternal partnership. And the Apostle Paul concludes this by saying, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she, I did change that, but somehow I must not have saved it, that she, not see that see, it's rather see that she respects her husband. What's he taking? He's taking the issues of this partnership, and he's putting that issue of this partnership on the on-earth partnership of marriage. So you see, quite frankly, this thing of being God's kind of partner speaks to every one of us. That is, if you're a believer in the church. Amen? Yeah, it just gets played out really well in marriage. So, let's take a look at this then. And to do this, we're going to have a story. There's a D band that I have, some of the guys in the D band. Actually, it's not my D band. It's all the guys' D band, but it's the Lord's D band. It's just that I'm in it, so I can call it mine, right? That's right. And they're in it, so they can call it theirs. So we've got some guys in our D band. And they're going to help us out here with the story. They helped us out with the sanctity of life. We appreciate that. And some of the guys in our D-band are going to help us out with the story. So I'm going to have all the guys come on up here. And they kind of know what their parts are. I'm just going to kind of narrate this thing. Come on up, guys. Why don't you take the mics there. Grab the mics if you can. This wasn't well rehearsed in regards to getting the mics, so we'll see how that goes. But the other part is, so there we go. And they're going to story. One of the guys couldn't be here or isn't here this morning, so we're going to have Steve stand in for him. And Steve's not going to do the storying part because he wasn't prepared to story. But nevertheless, I need to have the part done. So, here's how this goes. Jesus presents to us this thing about being a partner with him. And I want you to know that the church right along has had this thing of recognizing that the partnership with Jesus is a profound mystery, and it's the mystery of the husband-wife on earth that is the bride of Christ there. As a matter of fact, there is a book in the Bible. It's in a very intriguing book. I have read it and taught it and used it quite frequently. It's the book called The Song of Solomon. Anybody read that book? Some of you haven't read that book? Read that book. You need to read that book. The Bible's got that book in it. It's called The Song of Solomon. Solomon. It's Canaanite Tales also. It's called that, but Song of Solomon. There you go. And this one is called A Song for Lovers. This is the first time I taught it. This is an excellent book on it, The Book of Romance. Now, Charles Spurgeon, who has been said, if you want to prove anything to the church, quote Charles Spurgeon. Because he gives validity, because he was the prince of preachers. Well, can I tell you that Charles Spurgeon said that book was about Christ and the church? How about that? Whoa! That is an amazing thing, if you know the content of that book, that it's about Christ. Actually, it's about romantic life in marriage here on earth. That's what it's about. But nevertheless, the church recognizes this profound mystery with Christ. And Christ gives us an introduction about being a partnership. Here, I'd like you to listen up to this. Matt's got this first thing that he says as an intro to this thing of the relationship with him. Matt?
So Jesus was just talking to the Pharisees, and then he says, if any person comes in to the sheepfold by not coming through the entrance, but comes in over a gate or sneaks in, they are a thief and a robber. But the shepherd will come in through the entrance, the correct entrance, and the gatekeeper will let him in, and the sheep will know his voice. They will know the sound of his voice. They will know who he is. And when the shepherd comes in, he will call each one by their name, and they will know his voice. Then he will lead them out of the sheepfold. And as he leads them all out, he will lead the way. The sheepfold will follow him because they know his voice. They will not know the voice of a stranger. The stranger's voice they won't know.
This picture, this figure of speech, kind of like some of you here perhaps, they didn't grasp what he was saying in that. So, Jesus, again, says to them, Calvin?
I assure you, I am the... I am the gate for the sheep. I assure you, I am the gate for the sheep, he said. All others who come before me were robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. He came to kill and destroy. I am come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly.
And then Jesus shifts a bit the figure, the picture. And he talks very specifically about this relationship from his angle as the shepherd. Doug?
The Lord continuing saying of himself that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. The workman, or the handman, what is it?
Hired hand.
Hired hand. The hired hand, who is not a shepherd, in fact doesn't even own the sheep, sees the wolf coming his way. And just picture, and then pause, the wolf approaching the sheep. Let me ask you a question. What happens when you mix a wolf with a sheep? Right, right. Well, that's the short answer, because that wolf begins to move around the sheep in concentric motion and tighter circle, and looking for the lambs and the weak ones of the flock. And then he takes... viciously and violently he snatches the sheep. And, oh, by the way, we hadn't forgotten the hired hand. He flees. He has no concern nor care for the sheep and is a coward.
Part one of the Good Shepherd. And then Jesus takes it a little bit further about his relationship with the sheep. Part two of the Good Shepherd.
Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know my Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep, my own sheep. But there are other sheep that are not of this fold that I must bring alongside me, and so that they may listen to my voice, that we may be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, my Father loves me, that I lay down my life and I take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. By my own authority, I lay it down. By my own authority, I take it up again. I receive this charge from my Father.
Amen. All right, guys, we'll let you be seated. I appreciate them doing this, coming up here and giving the story. So let's talk about this. Having a shepherd for your life. John chapter 10. Are you there with me in your copy of the Word? In John chapter 10, Jesus talks about having a shepherd. What it's like to have a shepherd in your life. And he says, truly, truly, I want you to get this. Get this truly, truly statement, because this is a statement that Jesus has recorded about him saying 25 times in the Gospel of John. And every time he does, he uses it as a formula to underscore something that is a vital reality. It is his formula. It is his getting your attention. It is his underscoring of something. And he states here, truly, truly, there are others around who seem like shepherds, but they're a thief and they're robbers. I want you to know that he underscored that as being a reality, and don't think it's not true. There are many folks who would like to come in and shepherd you in a direction. And it is constituting before the eyes of God, stealing from the one real shepherd, the sheep. They're thieves and they're robbers. Now, a little bit later, he's going to talk about them and you'll be able to identify the characteristics. But I want you to know it's just as true today as it was in Jesus' day. Now, Jesus is saying this in John chapter 9 context, where there were, look up to John chapter 9 at verse 40. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to them, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now you say we see, your guilt therefore remains." The Pharisees were attempting to shepherd people in God's direction, and Jesus heals a blind man, and they fight with him over that, because we see the shepherds of the Pharisees had a little self-interest motive here concerning Jesus. And that this is the case, that they're still dealing with this whole blind issue. Look at verse 21. But verse 19, I guess we should start with. Verse 19 of John chapter 10. Because of this whole incident of being a shepherd, there again was a division among the Jews because of these words. And verse 20, many of them said, "He has a demon and he's insane. Why listen to him?" And others said, "These are not the words of one who is possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" They're still dealing with that whole blind issue. They're still dealing with that, which the Pharisees interacted with. Here's the point. As he starts this, Jesus begins with a truly, truly statement to underscore the vitality of this. There are thieves and robbers who are coming and acting like they're shepherds. There is a real shepherd, though. And he's going to tell us what it's like to have a real shepherd in your life. A real shepherd, verse 2, is the one who enters by the door, because to him, the one who keeps the door, the gatekeeper, the one who keeps the door, opens to this shepherd, and he opens to this shepherd the eyes and the ears and the attention of the sheep, so that the sheep, verse 3, hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Here's the thing. Having a shepherd is to recognize there's false ones and there's a real one. And there's a real one who gatekeepers open your attention to and open your attention to and open your attention to and open your attention to. And then this shepherd, the real one, has sheep who hear his voice. Woo! That rings true. And not only do they hear his voice, but they know. And they follow. This is what it's like to have a shepherd. Listen in with me on verse number 3 through 5. To him the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name. Lamb chop. Woolly. Astray, come back. My own way, over here. My own way, back over here. And he knows them. And he calls them by their name. The shepherd deals with your life like it really is. He knows you. He knows your name. He calls you, and you hear his voice when it speaks to you. You hear his voice. And he goes ahead of you. And he leads you. He leads them out, and when he has brought them out, when he's brought out all of his own from the sheepfold, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. I want you to know this is a great picture. This is a great figure. Jesus says he's using a figure here. This is a great picture. Let me tell you this picture. Okay? Here, as a matter of fact, let me show you this picture. This is a picture of a sheepfold. That's what a sheepfold looks like without sheep. Okay? It does have one man standing up here. You can barely see him. Well, he's actually kneeling down over there in the corner. This is a sheepfold. What a sheepfold is out in this area where the sheep graze, they take and they set up this fence, usually made out of stone like this, and they have a door opening in it. There's another one that's on a hill. Another sheepfold is kind of going downhill there. And the picture of this thing is absolutely beautiful, because you see what happens is from all of these hills all around, as it gets on towards evening, the different shepherds will bring their flocks in to the sheepfold so that there is a security, so that all the shepherds don't have to stay up all night and watch their sheep. Rather, one shepherd can watch the sheep with his sheep, and the others can go off and get a night's sleep. And the neat thing is that in the morning, the shepherd comes out and he stands, and the gatekeeper, recognizing he's the shepherd, lets him come over by the door, and then he calls his sheep. I'm going to do something for you this morning. This is something we used to do when I was growing up on a farm. There'd come a point in time in the day, usually twice, where you'd have to go out and you'd have to call the cows to come in and get milked, okay? I would do it in the evening. It wasn't like dark, but it was like later in the day. And you'd go out and you'd stand outside the barn door at the end of the pasture, and your cows would be throughout the whole pasture. And then you would go like this. Come boss, come boss, come boss, come boss. And you turn around and you start walking. And you know the amazing thing is, these sheep, or these cows that we had, would sit there and these big lumbering animals would start to turn and they'd march off to their duty, They would follow you into the barn, and they would go up to the cow stable, and they would walk in and get in line down the stable, and you'd go through, and you'd click their neck things, and you'd have their grain already in there, and they would follow the voice. Now, it was my dad's call. I mean, have you ever heard a cow? I mimic cows. They're not hard to mimic because they don't say anything. They go like this. And so when you call them, come boss, come boss, it kind of sounded like their own call. And they would turn. And they would come. And we would do this night after night. Well, this sheepfold, Jesus picks up on that image. It's the figure. And he says what happens is the shepherd comes out and the gatekeeper allows his access to the sheep and he calls them whatever his call is. And all the shepherds had a distinct call. I don't know if any of them used, come back. I don't know. But what happens is this whole amalgamation of sheep that are in this sheepfold suddenly start to separate themselves. And as that shepherd turns and walks off, there's a line of sheep that come out of that fold. And they begin to follow him off to the pasture. And it's one shepherd after another shepherd after another shepherd. And they didn't have to go in and say, well, that one's mine or that. No, they would just follow their shepherd because they knew his voice. And he would lead them. And they would go. That's the picture that Jesus is presenting. And they don't get it. I mean, it's a good picture. It's a good picture. But they don't get it. Verse 6. But they didn't understand the figure that Jesus used with them. So therefore, verse 7, Jesus says again to them. He presents to them this picture, only he's going to amplify it. He's going to talk to us about entering by your shepherd door. And what that brings to your life. It brings something to your life. Here, I want you to pick it up with me. It's at verse number 7. Notice here that Jesus uses this same truly, truly formula again. Truly, truly, I say to you, get this, underscore this, this is vital. I am the shepherd! Did you get that? This is what he says. I am the door of the sheep. True, false. False, thieves, robbers. True, no. Follow, be led. That's having a true shepherd. I'm the door. Now, some people get confused here. Some people get confused on this. Straight up and straight out, he gives us the point. I'm the door. Verse 9. I am the door. Oh, wait a minute. I thought you were the shepherd. How are you the door? Oh, okay. Let's take a look at this picture again. I am the door of the sheep. Whoops. There we go. There's the picture. Some people get confused. Hey, I want you to take a look at this. I took this picture in here specifically for a reason. Where's the door? There's no door. There's a doorway. Do you know what the door is to the sheepfold? It's a shepherd who comes and he stands right there in the doorway. And he stands in the doorway to be the protection of the sheep. He stands in the doorway to be the shepherd. When Jesus says that I'm the door, he's talking about I'm the door for the sheep. And he's going to talk about what that brings to you. I want you to see this with me. He says, formula, truly, truly, I'm the door. Point, all who came before me are the thieves and robbers. The sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. All who enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out, and he'll find pasture. Get the point here. Enter by me and be rescued. Enter by me and have access in and out and in and out. In and out of what? The sheepfold. Find this pasture for your soul. He's using the image of the sheepfold here. The door is the shepherd. The shepherd is the doorway. He's in the door. Have you ever heard the statement, if you're going to get to them, you're going to have to go through me? Ever heard that statement? Guess what? Divinely, that's what Jesus said. If you're going to get to them, you're going through me. That's what the shepherd is. That's what it brings to your life. If you will be a sheep that listens, that knows, that will be led. You know there's a difference between sheep and goats. Do you know that? Josh had goats. Those goats, some of them would be led, but for the most part, they were pretty well. But the sheep, they're not supposed to be goats. They're to listen. They're to be led. They're to know this voice. And when we do, this is what it brings to your life. It brings rescue for eternity. Oh, heavens, yes. For time, indeed. It rescues you and rescues you and rescues you and rescues you. But if you go off like a stray own way, and he knows you by name. Hey, astray. Hey, own way. This way. He knows you by name. If you do that, guess what you jeopardize? Your rescue here and now. Your pasture where he restores your soul. You jeopardize access in and out to the fold. The fold doesn't mean anything. You know, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, finish this with me, we have what? We have fellowship with who? With one another. If you're not in the light, fold, in and out. Are you kidding? I'm out here in my own, man. I'm out here in my own. And that's exactly what you are. And there's no rescue. This is what having a shepherd means. You're led. You listen. You know. We go. That's being a partner. Can I tell you this? This is being a partner. This is being a partner. In marriage. Guys, guess who leads? That's not a hard guess. If you know the scriptures. Ladies, guess who leads? Here. The good shepherd does. The good shepherd does. That's who leads. Always and everywhere. And if you hear his voice, you will follow. But if it's your own way, then you're astray. And your rescue? Well, that's on you too. Here and now. It's what having a shepherd brings to your life. That's a great image. Compare and contrast, he says. Here, get this compare and contrast. Bad shepherds, verse 10. bad shepherds. You know, sometimes you are going to be your own shepherd, aren't you? Well, let me tell you what they are. The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Did we get that? Did we get that? Compare. The thief is somebody who's stealing shepherding. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came to may have life and have it abundantly. Hey, do you know that he is talking about a profound mystery here? It's the mystery of being a partner, giving them their place. It's the same profound mystery between Christ and his church. Well, I like the Christ and the church one. Do you really? I really do. I like the Christ and the church one. The one about being partner here on. I like Christ and the church one. Well, can I tell you that this one is reflecting the other? If you have a hard time with this one, you're having a hard time with that one. Did you hear me? If you're having a hard time with this one, you're having a hard time with that one. Because this one only exists from that one. Did I say that? I think the Apostle Paul said that. Okay. The shepherds come to have life and to have it abundantly. This abundantly is an amazing thing. When he talks about having life, he's talking about life in regards to its experience. It's like life with a very high measure of input. It's like life that is, wow, this is worth living. Can I tell you, over years of ministry, I have worked with couples attempting to get them activated as disciples for the Lord. Let me tell you, the DBNs are the most that I've ever been able to achieve in discipling. And you know, it's not me. It's he who's building the disciples. But the D-bands have been the very best, because we've had couples who had, he'd come home from work and what he wanted to do was park in front of the TV and watch TV. And she would sit there thinking, oh, this is such an exciting life. He comes home, he burps, he sits in front of the TV, and scratches his belly all night. Woo-woo! This is really it. This is what I said I do for. Woo-woo! And he was sitting there, what's the matter with her anyway? Man, seems like she'd bring a little something to my life. I want you to know that is not the abundant life. It's not life in a high measure. But I want you to know, if you're a sheep and you hear and you follow, it will. It will go up and up and up. And you will be so involved in lives, it was like, wow, if this gets any fuller, I don't know if I'm going to have space. Amen. 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 And by the way, this compare and contrast is a matter of life and death. Having him as your shepherd is a matter of life and death. Okay, final thing. Here we go. Being in your Jesus shepherd care. He's the door. He's the shepherd. Means you have it like this. This is what it is to be in on this. It is like really good Jesus said this. As he's clarifying this verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. He uses a word for good here that's very intentional. It's a word that means beautiful and valuable. It means like this works beautifully. The other day, you know, we had to replace our van for various reasons. We won't go into that right now. We had to replace our van. We got this van. We had it a month, and the headlight went out. So I've replaced headlights in other vans, but every time it's always a game. How do you replace this one? So I was going out to replace the headlight in this replacement van, and as I was in there, I took it apart, and I came across this little paper clippy thing that came out on the side, and I couldn't pull the light fixture out because of this little paper clippy thing. And that's what it looked like. It looked like a little paper clip stuck in there, and I was okay, if I pull it, if I push it, if I like this, and I was messing around with this thing, and I said, okay, forget it. I went in, talked to Lita, and said, Google this and tell me how to get this out. So she did and read up some instructions. I said, okay, I got it. And I went out there and I ran into the barrier of the paper clippy thing again. So I said, okay, I'll have to watch the video on it. So the guy says, how to replace the light on the driver's side. And he gets up there and he made a mistake that I didn't make already. And I thought, this is going to be good. This is really going to be helpful. Well, then he took us, well, okay, and he took me over to the passenger side, to replace it. But he did do one thing. He said, and this thing is held in by a clip. And he went and he pushed it, and the thing popped out and swung open. And I thought, woo! I went out, and instead of trying to pull it, push it, cram it, I just clipped it, and it swung open. And I said, that is the best way I've ever seen to get a light bulb out. That works beautifully. Hey, Bennett, if you need to have a Honda light replaced, I know how the paper clippy thing works, okay? It works beautifully. And that's what Jesus is talking about. This is beautifully functional. This is valuably functional. Having a shepherd who gives me direction, that I listen, that he knows me, and that I follow. This really works. Not only does this works beautifully. Say this with me. This works beautifully. That's what he's saying. I'm the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. When he talks about life here, he uses a different word for life than he used before, this thing about experience. He's talking about the whole of his person. He uses the word that we get psychology from. He uses the word psyche, which means the whole of what he is. He lays down for, and he uses a word there that means to cover the sheep. You get this? This is having a shepherd. This is what it brings to you. It's like having Jesus come and lay his life entirely over yours. You know what that means before God? That means before God, you who were condemned and surely destined to damnation for sin, stand in Christ completely forgiven. There is no charge against you. You have the perfection of Christ. He completely lays his life over yours. You know what this means for your practice? You're here, you're walking. You see, this thing beautiful doesn't only mean an appearance. It also means its usefulness. Like that paper clippy thing worked beautifully. It means he lays his life over yours so that you, listening to him, adopting his ways, going with him as your partner, pick up this life that is meaningful, that is full, this life that has purpose and accomplishment. Whew. You know what I say to that? Wow. What he gives. This is what he brings to you. Now, in contrast are the hired shepherds that Doug went like that. Oh, I'm going to have to get more clappy shoes than you got. My shoe doesn't clap as good as yours. But he did that with. Because other shepherds, we'll look at it, verse 12. He who does this thing of shepherding for a living, well, not that he gets paid for it, but that's all he's into is the pay. He's not a shepherd. He's a hired hand. And he does not own the sheep, and he sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep, and the wolf snatches them, and they're scattered. He flees because he's a hired hand, and he cares nothing for the sheep. And here's the point about the beautiful shepherd. He cares everything for the sheep. He lays his life down for the sheep. He covers over the sheep. He's about that. Now, husbands, that is how you're to love your wife. Husbands, love your wife just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, laid his life over her. In every way, shape, or form. And you know what we did yesterday? We went and bought a puppy. You know why we bought a puppy? Because we've had some pretty sad puppy experiences in our house. We had a time of mourning over a puppy. And now we got a new puppy. And I know my kids that are older aren't going to believe this. We got an in-the-house puppy. Yeah, a live-in puppy. You know why they don't believe this? Because I was raised on a farm, and animals stay... But every time we have a puppy outside, you know what happens? Vroom! We got no puppy. I have to lay down my life. For a puppy. For the dog? No, it's the people. It's the wife. It's the ministry. Guys, guess what? Love like Christ loved. And you lay down your life for hers. And wives, see that you respect your husband. Hey, guys, you want to help her to respect? Love her in such a way that she sees you laying down your life for her. And I guarantee she will respect you. She will. If it's always you and your interest, that's going to be hard. But when it's her and her interests and you're laying down your life for, she'll find it a whole bunch easier to voluntarily line up behind. To respect. And by the way, guys, I'll just throw this in. This is free. If love goes out of a marriage, guess whose shoulders that's on? Guess whose responsibility this is to keep love in the marriage? You're the leader. You're the spearhead. Shepherd cares about everything. The hireling who's in it for himself cares about nothing. Cares nothing for the sheep. I think we're ready to wrap this up. Final point. on being the good shepherd, the valuable one, the one that really works, he says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. You know, this is really cool how he says that. He says, I know my sheep, those who hear my voice, who follow, who are genuinely in. You know, there is such a thing as a wolf in sheep's clothing. Are you aware of that? You know what that is? That is somebody who is hanging around the sheep. They dress like the sheep. They kind of hang out in the sheepfold like the sheep. But they're a wolf. Because if they took off the sheepskin, which was only dangling on them, you see that they're really in it for themselves, circling around tighter and tighter. But the good shepherd knows that too. The good shepherd counters that. Good shepherd knows his sheep. His sheep know him. They know that voice. And they know him just like Jesus knows the Father and just like the Father knows Jesus. That's pretty tight. That's what it brings to your life. And Jesus wraps this up by saying, I lay down my life. I've got other sheep from another fold. Those were the Jews believers. These were the Gentile believers of another fold. Them I may bring also, that we may be one flock, one shepherd, one voice. This is the challenge that my Father has given me. Let me just wrap this up. For sure, avoid this. Avoid being a sheep without a shepherd. Jesus recognized that there were people like that. He said, he was moved with compassion on the sheep, on the people, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know what that is? That is never getting it honed in. Never staying on the trail of hearing his voice, of changing, of growing, of putting off and putting on. You'd never get that. Never get that. Avoid being a sheep without a shepherd. Avoid not partnering up with Jesus. Partner up with him. How would I do that? Oh man, come and ask me. Oh man, show up at a D-band. Oh man, let me tell you, there is so much here in partnering up. Partner up with him. Partner up. Partner up. I'm going to end this thing really quickly. Just a note. Do you know marriage above all things, is a covenant of companionship? It's a covenant to partner up, to be to another person the companion that they need in their life, the companion that they see as necessary in their life. And it isn't like I'm the one who gets this only. I'm the one who gives this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32, 33, and 34, it says, husbands, you have a duty. He who is married cares about the things of this world. Can you finish this? How he may... We can't finish this. How he may please his wife. And she who is married cares about the things of this world. How she may... Can you finish this? Please her husband. Did you hear that? Wow. You need to think about how you order this world in such a way that it pleases her. Okay? It's just a little thing, but we got a puppy that's at home. in the house because it pleases her. You gotta see this thing. It's only 2 pounds. It grows to a maximum size of 4 pounds. Still in the house. Am I alone in this? I'm not alone in this. You know what dogs do in the house? Turn yourself in, folks. Guys, you're the leader. Wives, you're the responder, but it's voluntary to line up behind. This is being God's kind of partner. This is priority. This is priority in your tasks. Jesus said it like this, "For we all like sheep go astray." But we now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Lord, we turn ourselves in. We're here. We present ourselves. We turn ourselves in because we are so interested in seeing accomplished what we have in mind that we forget the priority of being your kind of partner. We turn ourselves in, Lord. We do. Right here. Step by step. We're with you. In Jesus' name.